Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You're listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who make some of the most powerful gaming PCs around and have awesome customer service from my own experience. Use the coupon code MMOReporter at doghousesystems.com and get a free 120GB SSD on top of the 1TB hard drive that comes with your system. By Audible, hands down, the best audiobook service in the entire universe. Seriously, if you have any sort of commute or just prefer to listen to your books, you've got to check Audible out. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOReporter and get a free 1 month trial and a free audiobook. If you'd like to directly support this show and the nice people who make it, you can find more information at gamediplomat.com/donate. Hello and welcome to episode 54 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I'm joined by Jim Bethencourt. Did I say that right? Bethencourt?
Yes, that's right.
All right.
Very good.
I didn't even read it ahead of time. I got to there and started to panic. So I'm glad I guessed. Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Excellent.
So Jim is another just kind of listener that randomly reached out to me, like, now what? I think it was probably 18 years ago, it feels like, Jim.
Feels like it's much as long as I've been working on the show, man. I'm really excited.
Yeah, so Jim is here. Jim, why don't you go ahead and just tell people a little about yourself, when you got into Hearthstone, what you like playing about it?
Yeah, sure. I got into Hearthstone, it turns out, I think, just right after the post-beta, post-white beta. And initially, I thought it was going to be Heroes of the Storm. And it's like, what? What is this?
This doesn't make any sense.
No, but I started playing, it's like, whoa, man, this is so fun. And so I've been hooked since. I took a break last summer for a while before the Curse of Naxxramas came out, and
okay,
then got back in around Christmas time. But it's just been, I've enjoyed it so much. It's so much
fun. had you played card games before then?
I had not. I'd heard of Magic the Gathering, but I'd never played, but just the whole math behind it and the tempo and a lot of those kind of things really intrigued me. So I was really, really excited to, you know, kind of put my math metal to the test, I guess. And a lot of the stuff is just really fun. And my kids got into it and it's like, oh man, this is just really fun.
So your math metal, are you like a crazy mathematician? You got like crazy smarts over there?
No, not exactly.
Because I'm seeing a lot of stats in these show notes that you're throwing down here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, we did pull that one chart out. We can, you know, about collect whether to buy a legendary cards or to just wait and, you know, open packs or whatever. And so yeah, I guess kind of a math wonk. But mostly, I'm a software developer in my day job, and so kind of a little bit of math, mostly just kind of abstract thinking, I guess. But yeah, so that's just me.
Okay, very cool. So let's go ahead and talk about why we're happy before we get into the show, before it gets too long, because I would like to say how thankful and how happy I am to have air conditioning, because it has been 108 degrees here for almost all day. It dropped down to like 104 at its lowest, which has just been miserable.
Did you try and fry an egg on the sidewalk?
No, but we did thaw our chicken outside because we had frozen chicken in packages and we needed it for lunch. And normally, you know, we like soak it in a pot with water.
Yeah.
But it was like 110. Just toss it outside on our balcony and it thawed pretty quick. It was pretty nice.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So I'm not sure. It was still in its packaging, so it's not unsanitary. It's okay. We're not spreading salmonella everywhere.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So why are you happy?
I'm really happy to be here. Super excited.
Doesn't count. Next one.
Oh, okay. Because the Draenor tournament's set. I'm also just really happy because I'm able to help new players. Because I mean, I talked with my cousin last Christmas, like, hey, do you play any Hearthstone? He's like, yeah, I tried and installed it 3 times, and then I uninstalled 3 times because I got so mad. And so, and then also just really glad that a couple friends had kind of helped me kind of develop the show notes. So yeah, I'm really happy that this has come out to be such a fun show.
Since we actually haven't mentioned it, Jim pitched me when he sent his email initially. He talked about wanting to do a beginner's guide for Hearthstone based on his interactions with his cousin, So that's what this is all about. This whole episode is just kind of, how did you come up with, was this just interacting with your cousin and finding things that he didn't know about, or what was it?
Yeah. I emailed him a lot of questions, and a number of other folks that I knew who played Hearthstone a little bit, but not much, and just said, hey, you know, what kind of questions do you have? Where do you struggle? What frustrates you? And so, you know, thankfully my cousin got back to me and with a lot of great questions, and I've tried to address a number of them here if I could. And so the show is a result of that.
So
this specific show episode.
So would you officially classify yourself as a champion of the people?
I would say so. Yeah. I mean,
There you go. Yeah. The people's champion here on the show. I'm excited.
Wow. Well, thank you. I'm flattered.
Cool. So let's talk brief bit of news, right? Not the news that we want to be telling you right now, because we haven't heard that the Grand Tournament is coming out just yet, but all the tournament cards have now been revealed. And last time, at least historically, that means that it's coming really soon, maybe even this week.
Yeah, that massive outage, what, Tuesday night?
Yeah.
Tuesday all afternoon? That's like,
How suspicious.
Yes.
So the one thing, though, I remember from Goblins vs. Gnomes, they put the cards in Arena before the set came out. So do you think they're going to, are they going to do the same thing, or even have you heard them say that they're going to do that?
No, I have not. No, but I would reckon that they would. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So maybe like Tuesday goes into Arena, maybe like Thursday, yeah, Friday or something, the set, yeah, officially launches.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That, or you know what? Maybe they'll have a brawl session from Wednesday to Sunday with all of the cards.
That would actually be really cool.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have Tavern Brawl last time.
No, they didn't. They didn't.
Okay, I could see that. That'd be super interesting. Like, something like the one we had last week where, like, hey, every time you play this card, summon a random minion. But this time it's summon a random tournament minion. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, or just, you know, people can keep playing and playing and playing with the cards and kind of say, you know, I'd really like to enchant that card. You know, I really liked it. You know, something like that maybe. But it's just a set deck, or a set series of decks that people can play with.
When you say it that way, Jim, it actually sounds sinister. They're going to let us play with the cards and then take them all away from us.
Exactly.
Thankfully, exactly. I think most of us have 50 50 packs ready and waiting to be opened.
I think a
right?
good number of people do. Yeah. I didn't buy any cards for the longest time. This is the first time I bought like a bundle. So I was like, wow, what am I getting into here?
Oh, welcome to card games, my friend. It only gets worse from here, better at the same time.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you actually did some math about those 50 packs.
Sure. Yeah.
How does that work? Break it down for us.
So you're going to get 250 cards because there's 50 packs, 5 cards in each pack.
Yep.
So if the what people seem to be publishing is odds that of what you'll get, you'll end up that's about 70% are going to be commons. So you'll end up with roughly 175 commons, but there are only 49 unique commons. So there's a really good chance you'll have 2 copies of each with about 380 dust left over.
Nice.
There, you'll get about 54 rares, and there are 36 unique rares, so you'll likely have about 2 copies. You'll have 2 copies of about half of them. And you'll have 10 epics out of that, and there are 27 unique epics across the entire set. You'll probably end up with maybe about 2 to 3 legendaries. I think the approximate number was 2.5, and there are 20 legendaries.
So if you get 3, you're on the lucky side.
Yeah, exactly. So there are 20 legendaries in the entire set. Let's see. I did notice that there in the Goblins versus Gnomes, there are only 2 common. There were 2 commons per every 3 per every 2 rares, whereas this set they include a lot more commons. There are also 20 legendaries in the entire set, so you'll get 2 to 3 of those. If you like gold cards, you'll probably get about 3. You have a good chance of getting 4, but you get somewhere between 3 and 4 gold commons, 3 or 4 golden rares. You might get a golden epic if you're lucky, and you're probably not going to get a golden legendary. But if you do, go get a lottery ticket.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, because I think you said it's typically 1 in every 200 packs.
Yeah,
golden legendary.
It's like 1/10 of 1%.
Yeah. So every four people that opens their 50 booster packs will get one golden legendary.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So if you get that, go ahead and take a screenshot, brag about it on Twitter, make everyone else jealous.
Right, exactly.
So, Jim, you had talked about, you had picked out a card that you're most excited about and a card that you're skeptical about. Let's talk about those real fast.
Sure. So the Chillmaw looks pretty interesting. It's a legendary. It's a 7 cost, 6/6. So it can't be shot down by the big game hunter. And its text reads, Taunt. Death rattle.
Ooh.
Death rattle, if you're holding a dragon, deal 3 damage to all minions.
That's a lot of damage, my friend.
Yes. So late game board clear. So like this is kind of like a flame strike, but with a body.
Yeah, almost. But it also hits your dudes too. So you have to be careful.
Yeah, it
with
does.
That.
Yes, you have to be very careful. Exactly.
But of course, if you're running a dragon deck, your dudes typically have much beefier bodies than 3.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. This may be a card, and maybe I am totally open to being wrong. I'm not super excited about this card. I don't know. Like, I feel like when you're in a dragon deck, when you're starting to hit 7-8 mana, you can be dropping bigger bombs than this guy. But is it just the taunt the dragon is really missing?
Yeah, there aren't any other dragon taunts. Yeah. So
okay.
This is one of the first, I think, first dragons with the taunt. I know that Brian Kibler had said, hey, you should have a dragon with taunt. That'd be a great idea. And so I guess Ben Brode listened.
And so they did.
Yeah, so they did. And they added some neat stuff to it, too.
Yeah, it's really cool. All right, so what card are you more skeptical about?
Ice Rager. Magma Rager's big brother. He's at a 3-cost common with 5/2 stats. So I guess he's... three cost common with 5/2. So whereas the Magma Rager is 3 cost for 5/1. So we'll see what happens here.
Yeah, it's interesting because as far as I could tell, this is really the only truly pure upgrade cards. Because all right, what else was there?
The Evil Heckler.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a 4-costed 5/4 with taunt. So it's like a 1-less-costed Booty Bay bodyguard.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, straight. Yeah. Yeah, because neither of those have tags like Beast or anything. They're literally the same card, just cheaper.
Yeah, yeah. So so somebody commented, well, yeah, but it'll lose in Jousts.
Yeah. I'm happy to lose in Joust if it means that I'm dropping that guy a turn earlier.
Yeah, but that is the Joust is really interesting because it allows you to see what you have in what your opponent has in their decks, because Hearthstone is all about hidden information. So that's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, that mechanic should be very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So we've actually got a lot to talk about today.
Yeah.
Cuz we've got I actually had to reel you back in, Jim. You wanted to tell beginner players everything.
Oh, man,
and
I did.
Like,
I did.
And I was like, Jim, we can't help them too much. They'll get better and beat us.
Oh,
and
no. No. I did save a copy of the original show notes. So if
you
did?
Want
to, yeah, so you can post a link to that as well if you want to, covering the arena stuff and some of the other stuff that we dropped. So
very cool.
We can certainly do that.
Yeah, and... at the end of the show, we're going to have Jim's contact information as well.
Sure.
So if you want some inside scoop or elaboration on this stuff, definitely hit him up.
Yeah, and also just I mentioned I was a programmer. I'm working on a tool. I just got started, but it'll help us figure out what cards are overvalued and undervalued. Based on math.
Okay. Based on just their stats?
Yeah, based on their stats on how much mana they cost and how much the similar cards cost relative to what their abilities are. I've tossed a URL to the GitHub repository if folks are interested in taking a look or helping out, stuff like that. It works. It's importing data. It's running some unit tests, but not too much else just yet. But if it's something you're interested in, check it out. And then it's based on Ellie Burstein's card value appraisal idea. And so I'll mention that later as well. But he did some really neat stuff that I'm basing my work on. So yeah.
So if if you listeners are anything like me, you can already tell that you're going to learn a lot this episode. Because he just threw out like three turns and some scientific formula that I've never heard of. I'm excited.
Cool, thanks.
All this stuff, a lot of this is based towards new players.
Yeah.
So if you're a super hardcore player, you know, some of this may just be a good reminder or a good refresher as we go through. But also as we talk about this stuff, if you think of things you'd want to add to it, or if you think, you know, you should clarify something because a new player might find this misleading or something, definitely let us know. All right, what's your first tip, Jim?
Okay, follow the rules.
All right, I could dig that. That's pretty straightforward.
Quoted from Aldor Peacekeeper.
Nice, dude, and that's a good card. You should obey that card.
Yes. So, because pretty soon it's going to be payback time. So the rules. So even though Hearthstone is supposed to be very simple and the designers wanted to make it to where you could just look at the cards and know what will happen, there are odd situations that are really good to be aware of and potentially used to your advantage. Knowing how cards are going to interact during play will indeed give you a surprising advantage. I've listed several different websites here that have rules. iHearthU is one. They have a list of 30 bizarre Hearthstone rules. If this is still down, just Google 30 bizarre Hearthstone rules and it'll come up. There's a Google spreadsheet that I also link to, and then hearthstone.gamepd.com is a website I go to consistently. It's pretty well done, and they have an advanced rulebook there. And then there's the Hearthstone Mythbusters YouTube videos. Those are a lot of fun to watch, and it's just mind-blowing some of the things that they've been able to make happen, like getting 8 minions on one side of the board at a time.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So what they did, they managed to have a golem. Oh, was it the I feel so embarrassed, but
what does he do?
The 2-3 harvester.
Harvest golem. Yeah.
Harvest golem. Yes. And they had him blow up, get knocked out, and then be reincarnated. Something like that, and then but his little 2-1 buddy shows up, so you ended up with 8 minions on one side of the board.
Interesting.
Yeah. I was like, what?
Does it like it must like kind of bleed off the board at that point, right?
No, it didn't. It all squeezed in there.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you know, it was redemption, is what it was. It was redemption on a harvest golem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then it had his little 2-1 buddy on there. So yeah, that's what it was.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's surprising how many kind of rules when you talk about it, because Hearthstone really tried, and I think succeeded in a really good way, to keep their text very minimal so that you didn't have to read. Because for listeners that played Magic, there are some cards where there's just paragraphs. And like you have to read it like my buddies drafted Magic at work just last week, actually. And my friend Adam, who's been on the show a few times, came over to my desk the next day and was like, dude, you gotta read this card. He's like, don't worry, you're gonna have to read it like 4 times.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what? And I was like reading it, and like I had to stop and start over and start and stop over because it's so complex. And Hearthstone really condenses it down. It's like the most cards I think have like 2 sentences maybe at the highest card.
Yeah.
But that also leaves a lot of ambiguity. Like the one that caught me off guard for sure, especially early on, because this was before the game was out. When we were talking about cards that have been revealed, we were talking about Animal Companion, which is a hunter card that says, summon a random beast companion. And so Dan, who was on the show at the time, had done a ton of math, looking up every beast card that had been revealed and figuring out the percentages of which one. Okay, it costs 3 mana, so what's your percentage of getting more value? And then like
what a web spinner would be.
Yeah, and then next week they came out like, oh, it's 3 unique cards that aren't any of the beasts, and that's all you can get. And we're like, oh, okay. I mean, I like the card. It works great. But at the time, it's just that text was very misleading.
Yeah,
were you ever surprised by anything like that?
That was, you know, my sentiment, you know, the first time I tried that, the Animal Companion. Yeah. And then one of the rules that I was cut off by, but makes a lot of sense when you think about it, is betrayal on Death Touch minions. So when a rogue would plays a betrayal spell on Death Touch minion, it'll kill the minions adjacent to it.
Because it says something like it deals its damage to the things next to it.
Yeah. So if you see that in your rogue and you have betrayal in your hand, you know what to do. Yeah, or if you're playing a rogue and you have a Death Touch minion, you need to place your Death Touch minion on the very outside.
Yeah, right next to those 1/1s or something exactly. that you don't care too much about.
Yes.
Okay, very cool. So we'll put links to these as well. I mean, obviously don't read all the rules unless you're a rules kind of guy. I'm not really a rules kind of guy, but it is super interesting. I like keeping those links around. Because when I run into a game, I'm like, ooh, should I play this? I can just, you know, control F and search that page real fast for the card I'm looking for, and it'll tell me whether or not I should.
Yep.
Cool. All right, what's your next tip?
Take your turn slowly.
This is the hardest one. I still don't do this, man. Jim. I'm sorry.
Me either. I probably lost a game of Arena because I just tapped in turn before I saw what card came from a card draw. So turn action. So take your time. You have 90 seconds. Use it all. So there's actually an order that you probably want to try to take. I've put a link out to a bigger article, but the biggest takeaway that I didn't find anywhere else was turn action order. So the first is check for lethal damage to your opponent. So always check if you can wipe out your opponent right then and there.
And take into account the spells in your hand as well.
Yeah.
Especially if there's spell damage, because a lot of times I'll forget that I have spell damage, so I'll just look and be like, oh, that's a 3 damage spell. But no, it's 4 damage. You got to look at it and make sure.
And then also, conversely, think about, you know, can your opponent potentially have lethal on you? And also, if any of your decisions involve card draw, do that first, unless, of course, you have lethal. And then the next step would be think of what your opponent can do the next turn.
So, real fast.
Sure, yeah.
Just to clarify why you're doing the card draw first, that's just to give you all the information, right? Because a lot of your turn in Hearthstone is just, it's a puzzle. You have all the pieces in front of you, and you have to figure it out. And so, if you wait to do card draw later... Mm-hmm. You may have spent the mana that, you know, this new card that you just draw would have, it would have been perfect if you hadn't spent your mana. So you want to just get all the information ahead of time.
Yep. Absolutely spot on. So next, think of what your opponent can do next turn to disrupt your board. I just mentioned this, but play around that. So Flame Strike is a 7 cost common. All these are common. Flame Strike is 7 cost. Holy Nova is a 5 cost. Flame Strike is 7 cost, but it can do 4 damage. Holy Nova is a 5 cost, but it can do 2 damage to your board and heal the priest board at the same time. Most folks, I commonly forget about that one. Hellfire is a warlock one. It can do 3 damage to the entire board, including the heroes. That's a common one. That's a free one, a basic one. Swipe is also a basic one. It deals 4 damage to one target and 1 damage to all other targets, and that's a 4 cost. Consecrate is a paladin card. It does 2 damage, but it costs 4. An explosive trap, most folks don't necessarily think about it as an AoE, but it really is. It's actually the cheapest one here, and it only costs 2. And again, all of those are free or common rarity area of effect spells that can disrupt your board. So if that turn's coming up, think about that. It's super important, because if you overextend your hand and you put too much out on the board, and then say you put 2 or 3 cost minions out on the board, and then the next turn they play Flame Strike, all of your advantage is gone. And that's called tempo or initiative, by a number of folks. And so all that's just sapped out, and you're lost.
Yeah, and one of the ways to think about that as well is what I'll do sometimes if I'm playing against a mage, right? I'm just always aware of that Flame Strike because you know it's coming. A lot of times, if I see the option where I'm like, okay, I can keep all my dudes alive if I'm going to trade with his, right? I can trade in such a way that all my dudes stay alive, but they all have, you know, low health.
Yeah.
Or I can just kill some of my minions right now and keep my big dude at 7 health, I'll do that.
Okay,
because just to make sure, like, okay, the way I look at it, when you're playing a mage, they have so much AoE, those dudes with 1 health are just going to die anyways. They aren't going to last. Goodness. There's just no chance. Yep. So you trade those early and keep your big beefy dudes up so that you aren't setting yourself up for that perfect flame strike play.
Mm-hmm. Or if you are, wait until turn 8 to play your flame strike and trick your opponent.
Make them feel safe when they look down like, oh, they could have used flame strike there, but they didn't. I'll throw a bunch of stuff down.
Exactly.
And nuke it. Exactly. And then watch their tears just pour down the screen.
Yep. It's, yeah.
All right, so what do we do after that?
So, okay, if you're ahead, if you have more tempo, more board presence, and you have more health, see if you can clear your opponent's board. So that way you minimize their tempo, their ability to hurt you and hurt your face, as it's frequently called. And then after that, if you have two equal choices between all of your cards, consider the choice that uses more mana. So you always want to try to use as much mana as you can. However, frequently that means you have a lot of cards in your hand, but not always. And then if you have any mana left over, but only if you have it left over that you just absolutely can't use, use your hero power. Often it's the least efficient, because it's often the least efficient use of mana. I mean, you can do so much more with two mana than one single damage. I mean, because Fireball is 4 mana, and it does 6 damage, so that's only twice the cost, but is 5 more damage. So it's clearly the worst that you can worst way to spend your mana. The Grand Tournament may change that some, but probably not as much as we think.
Yeah, unless you've really built your deck around making your hero power better, that's probably a decent rule.
Yeah. Okay. So again, plan your entire turn in your head before you play anything. Then double check it. This is especially important in Arena where things can really matter.
Yeah. Man, I wish I could say that I did this, because it is so hard. It's so easy to just get excited or just kind of throw it out there. But it just falls apart when you try and do that.
Yep. Again, you have 90 seconds. Take your time.
Do you play like soothing, relaxing music to keep yourself calm while doing it? You have 90 seconds. Take your time, friend.
No. Because often, crazy sounds, I don't want to be rude.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I'm like, okay, the guy just played a 1 minion cost on turn 1, and now he's just sitting there. She's just sitting there. I'm like, well played.
Please just hit that button. I wish there was an emote that just like pointed an arrow to the end turn button.
But you know, oddly enough, my end turn button has gotten stuck before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. So you couldn't end it?
I couldn't. Yeah, the fuse had to blow it up and flip it.
So you're spamming the sorry emote and just looking totally sarcastic.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you know, I should be more considerate of situations like that, I suppose. Yeah.
All right, so is that it? Any last minute steps at the end of your turn?
No.
All right.
Nothing that I can think of.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's a great... I mean, I would highly recommend, if you're a new player especially, write this list out. Just put it on a note card next to your desk, because it's still like... I've been playing for however long the game has been out. 2-3 years? I don't even know.
2.5 at least.
2.5, yeah. And I still forget to check for lethal sometimes, or forget to do my card draw until I've already played a card and be like, well, that was dumb. Why didn't I... it happens a lot on Priest with Northshire Cleric. I'm like, oh, I should have healed first to get the card and find out what I was going to do.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So what's your next tip?
All right. So when you play minion from your hand, if you accidentally play a minion with a targeted battle cry, like maybe a Youthful Brewmaster, but you don't want to use it yet, you can select it again to put it back in your hand. Or you can hit escape.
That has saved me so many times. When you, a lot of times, like if I'm playing on tablet as well, I'll accidentally drag the wrong card out and just like, no, undo, spam it. Phew.
Yep. I did that just earlier today. I'm like, oh, wrong card. Oh no. But it wasn't one that I had a targeted battle cry. I was like, well, okay, maybe I can recover.
Yeah.
Thankfully I did. I ended up winning the game, but it's like,
yeah, that is a really good tip. I mean, because a lot of things like the fire elementals that shamans have, even like that where it's battle cry, deal 3 damage, that the animation plays and it throws it on the board, but you can still pull it back out, even though it doesn't look like it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, okay, if you accidentally play a spell or a minion with two options, you can put that spell back in your hand or the minion back in your hand by selecting anywhere other than the two card choices in front of you. This usually pertains to druid cards, but it might pertain to others that haven't been made yet. But typically, this is druid cards. You might be able to hit escape as well, but I haven't tested that out on the PC. And then a third tip.
So, real fast.
Yeah, sure.
That one also sounds like it's just trolling drunk players. They're like, can't click the right card. They're like trying to click it, but keep missing and go back to your hand. Try again. Okay.
Yeah. And if you see a card hovering over the board, this may be what's going on with your opponent. So,
when it hovers there forever.
Yeah. Either that or they're trying to fake you out into quitting. But that's my guess anyway. All right. Is that anything else on that one?
No, that's good.
Okay. So the third and final tip on playing minions from your hand is to don't play your surprise minion or spell early in the game if you plan to use one. Because if you want to use it as a surprise finisher, kind of a burst, this minion may end up getting killed and you might have a tough time recovering and winning. So, for example, don't play an Arcane Golem and then put a Blessing of Might on it, which is a 7 attack total, just to remove a Boulder Fist Ogre.
Yeah, like that's the sort of thing where a lot of times when you have that in your hand, you're excited because you want to deal damage.
Yeah.
One of the hardest things to learn as a new player, and it took me a long time to learn this as well, is health is just another resource.
Yeah.
If it doesn't hit 0, it doesn't matter. If they're at 1 health the whole game and never die, they might as well have had 30. So you don't really want to show your big surprise, because the Arcane Golem plus Blessing of Might is a huge surprise, right? Paladins don't normally just deal 7 damage to your face whenever they want. So that's the big surprise. You don't want to just throw that out and let them know, hey, all my tricks are gone. You want to wait until they're at 7 health and then pull it out and be like, hey, you know how you were playing because you thought you had another turn? You don't. You lost.
Yep. And I can't tell you how many times I have actually won with 1 health, and my son looks at my tablet and he's like, you're going to lose, Dad, you have 1 health. I'm like, well, it's not over yet.
Unless you're playing Hunter, and then you will.
then if you're playing Hunter, then yes, you will.
Yeah, and actually, people joke about it a lot, but one of the easiest ways to notice if you're playing a new player is if they use their damage spells like on turn 1.
Oh yeah.
A lot of times it's Hunter is the one I can think of, because they have the cheap arcane shot that's 1 mana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if you go into a game and you have that in your hand, if you want to use that to hit their face, save it. Wait until it's a surprise, because if you just do it on turn 1, the person's like, "Okay, I'm at 28 health and now I know that surprise is gone." Like, you didn't really get much out of it. You want to save that until you can really get meaning for it.
Absolutely. Okay, so I think that's gonna do it for playing things from your hand.
All right.
Okay.
Tip number 4, Quattro.
Yes, El Quattro. Dealing with secrets. So the first time I saw a secret, I went, what do I do? How do I handle this? But you know what? There's a method to the madness. First tip: don't panic.
Okay, that's simple enough. All right,
yes.
Don't panic. Turn on that soothing music that we had talked about earlier. Yeah?
Yep. Grab a Babel fish and stick it in your ear. Seriously, folks. So play and attack little minions and spells first. When especially like for mages, spells. It's a counter spell. And first things is, like, if you're playing a hunter, it might be an explosive trap. So then play your minions first, and play your cheapest minion, because it could be a freezing trap.
When you say play, you actually mean attack.
Attack with your cheapest minion first. And if you have a big minion on the board already, just wait.
Yeah.
Don't attack with it.
Although there are fun ways to work around that, where,
yeah,
for example, if you're trying to get a card that has a great battle cry effect back in your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Then go
very
ahead
true.
And attack first, because if it's a freezing trap, throws it in your hand. And
it does.
Similarly against the paladin, if for whatever reason you're trying to kill one of your own minions because it has a death rattle effect, throw that guy first. See if if he'll get nuked.
Yep. By noble sacrifice, yeah. And then also remember that the coin is a spell.
Oh, so that's a great way to stop the mage's counterspell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so, yeah, so all these playing little minions and playing attacking little minions first will typically counter most secrets pretty well. Not all of them, but you know, good probably 85% pretty easily. Yeah. So, and then...
So along those lines, I would definitely recommend, if you are a new player, when you run against a class that is playing secrets, just go ahead and search for mage secrets on Google or whatever. Pull up a list of just what they are, because it's pretty easy to start narrowing down what it is when, for example, mages, you play a spell. Nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not the spell. Attack with a minion. Nothing happens. Okay, at that point, there's like two mage secrets that are left, so you kind of know what it is at that point. It's a really nice way just to feel out what it is until you trigger it, so you can trigger it in the least damaging way.
Yep. It'll change your play order, but you know you're going to have to deal with it. So it's, you know, stay calm, make the most of it. That's right. I think we covered all this dealing with secrets. So yeah. Okay. So tip number five. Yes, five. Tip number five: building and managing your collection. So for the so after Goblins versus Gnomes came out, I was like, well, gosh, you know, which one do I buy? Which one do I play Arena again and, you know, get Goblins versus Gnomes? Do I just go and I buy another pack of the original, you know, the classics?
Yeah.
So there's actually a great tool that, you know, I wish I knew who it was put together, but, you know, it's God bless them for it. They put together a really impressive spreadsheet where you take and you put in all of your cards. And it's available on Google Docs, and there'll be a link in the show notes. And what you want to do is make a copy of it on your Google account, then put in all of your cards, and then so it'll tell and how many copies you have of each, and you'll see how much dust each of those is worth. And you can figure out which card pack you should buy. So that way you'll know that you're get kind of on that economic horizon of you maximum utilization of resources, if you want to think about it like that.
This spreadsheet is also scary because it starts telling you, hey, here's how much money. If you spend this much money, you'll finish your collection.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a really tempting thing. Like, oh, I would love to be like, my collection is complete. But it is a lot of money.
yeah, exactly. And then also it tells you how much your collection is worth. It's just like, wow, what? So
yeah.
That's, you know, I was like, wow, that's pretty nifty. So and then what else? Crafting cards. Second tip. Consider the wisdom of the crowds and look at what's popular. There's a link that I linked to on Hearthhead that shows what the most commonly listed cards are in decks that people have built. However, this kind of ends up having a bias towards older cards because more than likely older cards will be in more decks. But, you know, it's worth considering. Another one is looking at Ellie Burstein's undervalued card list. He found that zoo decks basically end up being pretty powerful because the really cheap mana minions have a little bit more oomph, whatever you want to call it, and so they can be pretty powerful. And then also look at the Hearth Arena tier list. This is the Hearth Arena is a card. Card picking guide that is really helpful when picking arena cards. But they also the folks who make it also just have a tier list, so you might want to look at that to see, okay, well, what are the most powerful cards that I want to craft first, or do I want to try to save for first? And then also quick note: don't disenchant cards that you don't that you don't have more than two copies of. Because I've done that and I've regretted it.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely back that up. We've had a couple questions recently about that exact thing, actually. And yeah, we have definitely said, you know, there are very few exceptions, especially with Tavern Brawl. There's just so many interesting things to do. Don't disenchant that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, so do you like gold? Do you like shiny stuff?
I do love gold. Blingtron is a sweet card.
Oh, man, I opened that. It's like, it is a fun card.
It is.
When I get a terrible terrible weapon and my opponent gets, you know, a really amazing one. I think today I got a Lice Justice and my opponent got a Gladiator's Longbow. Like, that was a mistake.
That's depressing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He ended up winning with a Gladiator's Longbow. But it makes for a fun game. But so enchant, if you like gold cards, enchant specific gold cards that make other gold cards, like Unstable Portal, the Shredders, a Web Spinner, for example. And then also take a look at the rules of how gold cards generate other gold cards. That's pretty interesting.
Like, what do you mean rules? Like specific ones that do and don't?
Yeah, yeah. So I think that, I want to say I've heard that Golden Duplicate will generate golden cards. And then Golden Echo of Medivh, I think, also does. Golden Gazlo will generate golden mechs. Things like that. If you're a priest and you've leveled up all the way to level 60 and you use your golden mind vision, or if you have a golden what was the other one? Mind vision and thought steal. Those will generate golden cards as well.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, yeah. So and interestingly enough, I read an article about how some guy went out and spent $2,000 to buy, to get his all gold collection.
Oh my word.
I know. And I mentioned this to my friend Robert, and he's like, hey, you know, that's a good thing, because this means Hearthstone's going to stick around.
That's true. He's keeping the lights on over there.
Exactly, exactly.
So I would not recommend that for new listeners. Do not go out and buy a full golden collection.
Oh, man.
Please.
No
That's
way.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, but if you want to get the most value for your dust, math basically says save for golden legendaries.
To craft them.
To craft them, yeah.
Okay.
To craft golden legendaries, yeah, with your dust.
Because in theory, as you're opening packs, you'll get everything else, essentially.
Exactly.
Is that the idea?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, 0.1% of opening a golden legendary versus saving up for it, you'll save up for it a lot faster than you will opening one.
Okay, very cool. Alright, what's your next tip?
Okay, as the questing adventure says, give us a quest!
I like how many of your titles are actual quotes from the game. I love it.
thank you. There are a lot of folks who are weekend warriors. You only have time to play games on the weekends. It's some folks find time, you know, in the evenings, but not everybody does. Or maybe you don't while you work out, but again, not everybody does. So if you play physical on the weekend, daily quests will accumulate past three in a hidden queue that you can't see, but that's on the server somewhere. And so they'll keep track of how many you haven't used yet. But don't re-roll, as it's frequently called, or don't redo one of your quests during the first day of the weekend, or the hidden queue will be wiped out, and you'll need to wait until the next day to get all three new quests. So
let me walk through how this actually works.
Good call.
I actually hadn't heard about this until then. So you start with three quests. If you've backed up your hidden queue to six, mm-hmm. as soon as you complete one of those, a new one pops in.
No. So you have to, if you only completed one quest that day, a new one will appear the next day. But if you complete all three quests, say on a Saturday, then you'll have three new quests on Sunday.
Oh, so you still have to wait a full day.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
you get all three on Sunday instead mm-hmm. of just one new one.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I've done this several times, even recently, and this works. Used to, I think you could complete all three and a fourth one would pop up right away, but they fixed that.
Okay.
But So yes, at least for now, there'll be this hidden queue that exists. So
interesting. And then on the second day, though, then you can re-roll one of them, and all three will stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. So if you want to maximize your gold, re-roll daily, except of course if you have more than three quests. If it's been more than 3 days since you completed a quest, but if you do reroll daily, try to only reroll your 40 gold quests. And somebody did some math and figured out that you can have up to 35% more gold over time, but you'll need to be very patient and not do your 40 gold quests and only do your 60 gold quests. There's a link to it in the show notes if you're interested in reading the full article.
Okay. See, I hear people say that a lot, and maybe, and even if I believe, all right, let's say I'm wasting gold, I still prefer to just do overlapping quests. I don't care if they're 40 gold quests. If I can get them done faster, I'm just kind of happier.
Yeah, because really, our time with our families is precious.
So, ain't that the truth?
Speaking of overlapping quests, they can indeed help save time, but they aren't critical. Also speaking of overlapping quests, build your own decks to help achieve these quests, since you might need to play a class in an awkward way. I one time had a double 60 rogue quests when I started out. And I tried so hard to just play rogue, and this was also when I started out. So I was trying to figure out rogue, how to play rise, like, I mean, you know what? I'm just gonna play all taunts.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
How did that go?
It actually worked.
Really?
Yeah, it was really awkward, and it's not usually how you want to play rogue, but it worked.
Okay.
And it was instrumental in helping me improve my deck building skills.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to kind of give yourself weird challenges and just see if you can make it work.
Yep, exactly. I'm like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I've run into this a lot where I'll get a quest to win with a mage and also play, you know, 30 spells or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, time to bust out mage secrets, right? Where half the deck is just spells, or freeze mage, throw them out there.
Yep. All right, and then there are also secret quests that have nothing
to do with
daily quests. And so these quests can be achieved over time. Quite a number you will achieve, or you may already have achieved, when you start playing the game. It's a lot of fun, though, knowing about them and achieving them.
Yeah, they're very similar in other games to basically achievements, right?
Yeah.
They just don't show them anywhere in the game. You have to look them up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just earned I actually just earned the 1,000 win quest.
Oh, nice! Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, I was like, whoa! So it was.
I forget, what do you get from that?
300 gold.
Nice. Okay, that's a big chunk of gold.
It is. Yeah. So you get 300. That's probably the most you'll ever get at any one time, other than if you win 10, 11, or 12 wins in arena. It would be really cool if they did that for every 1,000 wins or something, but I don't think that they're going to do that.
I don't think they want people starting to farm thousands of games just for gold payout.
But, you know, for folks who do play over and over, you know, it might be okay. But it's a lot of fun knowing about them and achieving them.
Cool. So we'll put a link to those in the show notes for people to look up as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Cool. What's the next tip?
So learn how to have fun and avoid frustration. So the best way I can describe this is to find your fun and to play that way. Well, you might have to experiment to get there, but and also keep in mind that we don't all have to fit into one of these categories. But so the Wizards of the Coast, the folks who make Magic the Gathering, did some what's called psychographic profiling. And basically,
sounds pretty scary, if I'm being honest.
It really does. But so basically, they want to figure out what makes their players have fun. And they've basically figured out there are three different types. You have Timmy, you have Johnny, and you have Spike. Timmy folks like to smash their opponents. So these and what they like is, and what this needs typically is legendary cards. Not always, but more often than not, these seem to lean towards legendary cards that are really expensive. But yeah. you know what? If folks like to be Hulk and say me smash, they can do that.
Yeah, the classic Timmy card, and I'm part Timmy. I'm part Timmy, part Johnny, which is the next one.
Uh-huh.
The classic Timmy card is King Crush.
Yeah.
That is the card. It's a 9-cost, 8/8 with charge. It's a hunter legendary. But that's the dude, and this is what Timmy's love, me, this is what I love. When you play him, the board starts shaking, and you hear the foot stomps, foot stomps, foot stomps. And it's more like, man, this is cool. This card is cool. I'm loving playing this card because it makes me feel so fun. Like,
and I don't have King Crush, but I've seen folks insta-concede
King yeah. Crush. I'm not getting eaten by a T-Rex. I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly. So Johnnies like to have fun building their own decks. I'd have to say I'm a Johnny. I never net deck, or at least hardly ever. And the one time that I did, I dusted cards that I should have kept.
Yeah.
Building decks for Johnny is part of the creative process.
Yeah, Tavern Brawl is great for this. If you think you might be into this, like,
yeah,
because the thing about Tavern Brawl is it gives you new rules to play with every week. And so, like this week, it was every time you play a spell, summon a random minion with that same cost. And there's just immediately, if you're Johnny right now, you will know because your brain is firing. And you're like, oh, I could do a priest deck with all the removal and all the silence. Oh, I could do a druid deck with all these overcosted spells. Like, And you just have to go in and start testing all of them.
Play Tree of Life and get a free 9-mana minion on the board.
Yeah. Oh, whoa, man, dude. Mind Control with Priest was so good.
Goodness.
You have a 50% chance to get Deathwing and steal whatever they have on the board. So good.
Yeah, and then Spike likes to win lots of games. If I had to guess, this would be my cousin who was really struggling, who had installed and removed Hearthstone 3 times. He likes to win, and he gets really frustrated when he doesn't. When I was a kid, his brother said, "Yeah, Jim, don't sit next to him. He's gonna pound the floor with his fist when he gets beaten." And sure enough, that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
So yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of our hosts on the show have been Spikes, which is good because, like I said, I'm not a Spike at all. I'm a Timmy and Johnny.
I think you and I are.
Yeah, and so I really like having Spikes on the show, though, because they're the ones that are so deep into it that they know. Like, they take the decks that Johnny has built, and then they figure out how to play them perfectly.
Yeah,
It's awesome.
Yep, and then as a personal addition, play silly decks every once in a while. It's a real hoot. It's funny. So silly decks being like, use a gnomish inventor or experimenter.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if you draw a card, if it's a minion, turn it into a chicken. Not even an angry chicken, just a chicken.
Just a chicken. Hey,
yep.
You get bonus points for beating the enemy with a chicken on this podcast. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. So, okay. Next tip, don't rush to ranked. I played casual, only casual, for a really long time. And I read forum posts like, man, I do terrible in ranked. This game is so pay to win. I'm like, dude, I'm having fun in casual.
Yeah.
So, it's just, you know, I was just having fun building up my collection, you know, getting gold. I really learned the game well. And now that I'm on, I play a lot more on ladder now. But I know what to expect. So, and another fun thing about it is that you may end up seeing some of the same players on the casual ladder over time. I know I certainly did. I was like, wow, I played that guy before. This is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of fun. I really like this tip as well, because a lot of people get really focused on ranked and like, if I'm not ranked high, then I'm not having fun in this game, or I'm not doing well in this game.
Or I'm terrible. I'm no good.
Yeah.
You know? But that's totally not true.
Yeah.
Totally not true.
Yeah. Especially when you're early in the game, don't get caught on that stuff, because you're just, unless you just dumped a ton of money into the game, you're just not going to have enough cards to compete at super high ranked levels. So just focus on casual. Get your quest done. You know, try experimenting with new decks. Practice your execution, like going through, okay, did I miss lethal? Did I do card draw? Actually, no, I have a couple friends who record every match that they do.
Wow.
And then go back and watch it.
Whoa.
And that's a great way, like, if you are super serious about improving,
yeah.
Do that in casual. You don't have to go play ranked to do that. Do that in casual and look back at your games and figure out, oh, I missed lethal here. Oh, I could have done this more efficient.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. Yeah, yeah. That's a very good tip. Twitch makes it easy, and you can stream too if you want to. Yeah, but I mean, I don't stream personally, but you know, some folks do. They're terrible, but they stream, like, and it's almost kind of, I hate to say it, but it's kind of funny. It's like, what do I do? What do I play? They're talking to their chat room. But yeah, so it's.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, if you want advice, we all know Twitch chat will be very honest with you about what they thought about your play. So if you want advice, start streaming and people will jump in and just ignore their insults and try and take their suggestions for
and
what
they
could
do. Don't click on links.
Yes.
Do not click on links. So the new brawl mode is a lot of fun. Once you've reached level 20, take mage, since you start out with mage, and level her up to 20, and then have a blast in brawls. That's also a really fun way to learn the game.
So just to remind people, since it is a new listener podcast, Tavern Brawls, once a week they come out with a new mode, and there's some sort of special rule. Like one of them was it every time you played a card or something, you got bananas in your hand or something?
Yeah,
it's really weird, but they just put out different fun rules, and the rules that go in have a lot of RNG randomness associated with them. So it's a very lighthearted mode. You don't go in there thinking, I'm going to game the system. I'm going to show everyone how awesome I am. You go in knowing that it's going to be kind of crazy and just fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So if you want this month's card back, wait until after the initial rush of players in that month's season, and then make a big push when most of the players are way up on the ladder. So the beginning of the month is still really difficult for me. I'll just get crushed. And so I've learned to just kind of wait.
Yeah. It's safer that way, because the way it usually works is at the start of the month, it kind of soft resets people, so it lowers everyone's ranking. So if you wait, all the good players that are ranked around you will move up past you.
Yeah, yeah. So then there was a web page that I had linked to an article where one of the Hearthstone game developers mentioned that they are the biggest busiest at the beginning and the end of the month. That was really, really helpful to know. Also almost forgot. If you are willing to play ranked, wait until that middle of the month, and then try to make it to rank 20, because you're going to start actually giving away gold cards as part of the monthly awards along with the card back. So whatever the highest rank was that you reached that season, you'll get a corresponding reward. So some dust and a gold card, which is really nice. Because before they hadn't done that, they'd been really resistant to that. Again, the middle of the month is the best time to start going for ranked, rank 20 or higher.
And if you want to really game the system, we've had a couple people now come on the show and say that Saturday nights, North American time, tons of just drunk players that they they swear that they have much higher win rates Saturday nights. If you really want to gain it, there you go.
That's the time.
Yep.
I think the guy who bought all gold packs is like, I was drunk.
Yeah. That does not surprise me.
No. So, all right. So conversely, maybe consider playing Arena at the beginning or the end of the month when the best players are laddering.
Oh, that's interesting, because they're all trying to, you know, hit their legendary rank.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
And so they won't be in Arena. Intriguing.
Right, go where your opponent is not.
Yeah. And try and prey on the other suckers that are trying to take advantage of the system, too.
Yes, exactly, yeah. So also be aware and don't get discouraged, but it is good to know that there are some players who just sit between ranks 15 and 20 and they just farm for gold portraits at the lower ranks.
Oh, so they intentionally just surrender to drop their points back down?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, and you may end up, you know, coming across somebody who almost insta concedes, and it's like, okay, yep, somebody must have been farming.
Wow, so. That's pretty bad. If you see someone instant surrender to you, I might write down their name just for the future reference. So if they beat you in the future, you can be like, it's okay, this guy's a dirty farmer. I feel okay about losing.
Yeah, I mean, but there are so many people between ranks 15 and 20. I wouldn't go write down their names.
That's fair.
It's not going to matter.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, but yeah, so don't get discouraged, and you'll know who they are by how many legendaries they have, typically.
I like that. That's just a good life rule. You will know them by their legendaries.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, all right. I think that's coming close to being one thing I do want to mention is that I tweeted to Young Woo about this very situation about Gold Portraits farming, and he said, yes, we're very well aware of the situation, we're monitoring it, and so that was very encouraging to hear back from him. Young Woo, if for those of you who don't know, is the producer of Hearthstone, and he kind of, I think he basically kind of, I don't know if he runs the show, but I'm getting since that is indeed the case, and if you're on Twitter, you can reach out to Ben Brode and Yang Wu, and they're super friendly and sometimes even respond to tweets. And Zariah is the Hearthstone, one of the Hearthstone community managers. There's another one who's also gotten into the fray. I think his name is Withern. He's been answering a lot of the questions about the grand tournament as well. So so reach out to them if you have any questions at all. It definitely looks like they get back to you.
Yeah, I've had really good interactions with all those people. Ben Brode actually came on the show like a year ago.
Yeah.
Young Woo has been talking with us and been really helpful the whole time. And of course, Zariah was the one who got us the interview in the first place.
Awesome.
Ben Brode. Yes, they've been really helpful.
Yeah, I love that episode with where you had Ben Brode on. It was a fun episode. Listeners, definitely go back and listen to all Happy Hearthstone podcasts.
There you definitely go. There's 53. That's like, I don't know, average hour and a half. That's like almost 100 hours worth of podcasts right there you could be listening to. So we're going to put links to all this stuff, podcasts, streams. Jim made this awesome list of just everything you should watch and read if you want to get better at the game and kind of learn about it. And of course, the Blizzard people you can contact on Twitter as well. So we'll put all that in the show notes so you can check it all out.
Awesome.
So you had one final parting tip you wanted to give at the end there, Jim. What is it you want to tell people?
Feeding your fun, that one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So it's okay to spend money.
yep. Nice and simple. Because I have a lot of friends that are just, they're so hesitant, right? And I'm kind of the same way. So I'll lump myself in there. I was very hesitant to buy packs at first. And even with the grand tournament coming out, I wasn't sure if I wanted to pre-order the 50 packs. But just, hey, I'm having a lot of fun with this game. I'm going to enjoy what I get out of these packs. Yeah. It's worth it.
Yeah, and you know what? They got to stay a team. If you don't spend at least a little bit, they won't see any revenue. They won't be able to bring home their own bacon, you know? So
yeah,
you look at it that way. But I mean, it's, you know, I didn't spend money for the longest time on the game. I'm like, you know what? I spent a lot of time playing this game.
Yeah.
I should, you know, this will be worth it. It'll be money well spent. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's like throwing a little money at the jar at the tips, some street performer or something.
Yeah, I know
their work is a little more sophisticated, I guess, than street performers.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. As a software developer, I have a great deal of respect for that.
I believe that. All right, great. So that's just the basics, some beginner guide to get you guys started if you're a new player. Again, if you're a new player, if you have questions, go ahead and post it in the comments of this article so we could talk about it. If you're not a new player and you have suggestions for new players, throw that in the comments too so we can kind of build off this guide and kind of help new players have fun in the game. That is like one of the primary goals of this whole podcast.
Yes.
So I'm really glad we got to do that. All right, let's jump into the community because we've got a question from a new player as well. How perfect.
Awesome.
Tony wrote in and said, I'm a former, in quotes, or in parentheses, recovering Magic player and just started playing Hearthstone in the last month. I've hit level 14 on the ladder but seem to have hit a wall. Any tips for noobs with previous card game experience. So the best thing that Adam ever told me, so Adam was, he's been on the show a few times. He's just a person I really respect about card game theory in general. One of the best things he ever told me was to think of every minion in Hearthstone like a removal spell.
Yeah.
Which is really good because in a game like Magic, you only say, like if I'm attacking, I say, okay, my troops are attacking you. And I just push them forward. And then the defender gets to choose who they hit.
Oh, wow.
So in Magic, it's actually really hard. Like something like a Northshire Cleric is really hard to kill because they have to choose to block with him. Otherwise, I just can't ever hit it. So you really have to use removal spells. And so in Hearthstone, you have to think differently because your 3-2 Raptor isn't just a 3-2 minion like it is in Magic. You can think of it almost, in Magic terms, it's like a deal 3 damage spell with some extra rules attached, right? It has to obey taunt. It may survive the attack, so it may damage 2 turns in a row. But that just really opened up my mind because when I was doing stuff like drafting for Arena, I was like, oh, man, I got to get removal spells because in Magic Limited and Magic Draft, you have to get removal spells because you have to be able to remove those cards like Northshire Cleric or else you lose. But in Hearthstone, it's like, no, just grab big minions. Grab minions. Grab minions. Grab minions. They're basically removal spells that stay around.
Interesting. All right,
so what about you? What do you think?
I've actually heard the Angry Chicken podcasters, they mentioned that charge minions like a Wolf Rider, that you can think of that specifically as a removal spell.
Oh yeah.
Because it's a play it and attack it all in one fell swoop, no summoning sickness.
Yeah, that is very true. That is a very secure removal spell because you don't have to worry about like, oh, is this gonna work or are they gonna have an answer for it before I can use it? It's just nope. You throw it down, you deal 3 damage.
Yep. Unless of course it's a freezing trap.
Yeah, that's true. Hopefully you could test the waters a little bit.
Yeah, I had an opponent. I had a freezing trap on board, and my opponent played a Wolf Rider and charged it, and then went back in their hands, and they had no more mana that turn. And I think I went on to win that game because they didn't have quite enough to kill me that turn. It's like, psych!
That is unfortunate.
So
two more things I want to throw out there, specifically for Magic players, because I played a lot of Magic before I got into Hearthstone. I still play Magic.
Okay.
There are a lot more AoE removal spells in Hearthstone, right? Like, so you listed all those earlier, Jim. You're throwing out, you know, Consecrate, Holy Nova. That stuff just doesn't really exist in Magic.
Interesting.
So it's not something you have to be worried about. You can fill up your board in Magic and be like, it's fine. I'll just choose who I want to block with. No big deal. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But in Hearthstone, when you continue to fill your board, every class has quality AoE removal and will just wipe your whole board. Like it's a very real threat.
And then you get plus spell damage.
Oh my word! Yeah.
Oh, you got to take that off right away. You got to knock that down.
Yeah. It's such a weird change of mindset because it's just a whole type of cards that really doesn't exist in Magic that is super prevalent in Hearthstone.
Yeah.
And then last tip. For Tony, and actually his buddy asked me the same question on Twitter like a couple days later, and Tony was like, hey buddy, don't worry, I already got it covered, he's going to tell us soon.
Nice.
Don't be afraid to net deck, which is a term which basically means finding decks online, or watch streamers. It is not cheating. There's this really weird thing in Magic and other card gaming communities where they often harass people who got decks online.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, you cheated, that's not your own deck, you just built whatever you saw online. But in Hearthstone, it's super accepted. It's just an everyday thing. Like basically everybody knows when you say something like, a zoo deck, right? Like everyone knows what that deck is. Everyone has looked at it online. You may not be actively playing it, but it's totally fine to just pull a deck offline, and then try playing with it. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to feel bad or guilty like some communities do.
Of course, the downside to that is that whenever you start playing somebody and you're like, oh, this deck again, okay, I know what to expect now.
Yeah.
So there is some danger in net decking.
That is very true.
Of course, it's like, okay, well, here's how it's going to end. I'm going to lose.
Yeah. But especially for new players, when you're first jumping in, I highly recommend grabbing a deck because as you play, it'll just help you find out why it's good. Because
in particular, zoo decks.
Yeah.
They're cheap. They consist of a lot of little minions. Warlocks play these particularly well because of the life tap capability.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So look for Zoo Dex, new players. There
you go. Bam. All right. We got two iTunes review this month.
Sweet.
I know. It's awesome. I love these because they sound like they should be like competing pizza shops in like New York or something. It's from Original Rays and Shiny Robs. Like, okay. Nice. Maybe Shiny Robs is more like the barbershop next door to Original Rays
Pizza.
There you
go. There you go.
So Shiny Robs says, happy to listen to the Happy Hearthstone. 5 stars. The longest running Hearthstone podcast is also the most positive. Josh puts on a great show. Thank you, Shiny Rob. I hope you are shiny. Is it your head, or is it like, are you an alien that's glowing? I would actually be curious to know.
Maybe he could shine my head.
That'd be good. Or maybe it's like the Firefly version of shiny. Like, it just means like, hey, like cool, right?
Oh, okay. Shiny nice, Rob. Nice.
Original Rays says, the best Hearthstone podcast and the best Chicago pizza. He doesn't say that, but that's probably implied, I think. He says, love the new format of alternating deck challenge episodes with theorycraft episodes. I'm glad, Original Ray. Bad news, we're breaking that format for the next couple episodes, but for good reason. The next two episodes are going to be Scott and I reviewing the full expansion.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. So
all 130 cards?
No, 132? Sorry. No, I should have worded that much better. I worded that the same way last time, and Scott sent me a message and was like, yo, we're not doing 130 cards, right? Because we did 30 cards forever. And it took us 4 hours. It's like, yeah, no.
Ouch.
So what I meant was, we're going to be choosing cards to cover from the whole set, the cards that we think matter most, both on the good side and the bad side. It'll be similar to format what we did with Gnomes versus Goblins, where for each rarity for neutral cards, we choose card to dust, card to craft, and a card to draft. Arena, constructed, and then cards that are bad. And then we'll also do a separate episode, which we didn't do for Goblins versus Gnomes, where we do that same thing, but for classes, each class individually.
Yeah, okay. Okay, nice.
So that's what we're planning on doing. So that's going to be the next two episodes. So the next deck battle is actually going to be like 2 months away, unfortunately. But after that is done, we'll get another deck battle episode on.
Cool. All
right. We're cranking through this community stuff. Donations? We had none. So the world is back to a normal place, at least. Last week was extreme, right? We had a lot of donations last week, last episode.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really cool. It was a huge spike out of nowhere. We've never had donations on this show. We got one 2 episodes ago. Then we got a chunk last time, and now we're back to none. If you want to donate, though, if you like the show, you want to keep it going, want to keep supporting, like Jim was saying, hey, you got to keep supporting, throwing money if you're getting value. GameDiplomat.com/donate. This is the closest thing to a donation we got this time, so I'm tossing in there because Jamie, who's a nice guy, he hosted a few episodes ago. He went down to Gen Con, where Hex, which is a similar game to Hearthstone, but it's more PvE focused, they were giving out a ton of codes for exclusive cards.
Wow.
And as you can imagine, like, you play Hearthstone, right? If there was an exclusive card that only came from like BlizzCon, you'd be dying to get that card.
Golden Elite Torn Chieftain comes to mind.
So, but that, at least you can still get an Elite Torn Chieftain. This is like a special card that just doesn't exist.
Wow.
Outside of it. So he emailed me codes for like 4 different cards that he collected while he was there. So I'm super thankful for that because that's awesome. I am just a collector at heart. And so now I could just like little check boxes off my to-do list before I die. There you go. So thank you, Jamie. This is where we would normally do the Dust Bowl. I was really hoping the expansion would come out before this episode so we could do the Dust Bowl. But right now I'm sitting on 50 packs waiting to open. Most of them have already been paid for by listeners. But if you want to get in on this, if you send a donation in within the next few days, I'm not going to open packs that haven't been paid for by donors because I want to kind of tell the donors what cards they donated. So if you send in money specifically for packs, there you go. You can get in on that. Otherwise, I'm going to be live streaming that probably later this week whenever it comes out and then sharing that on the next show. So, boom.
Awesome.
Oh, and I got to say,
very exciting.
The Dust Bowl, right? This is the new name for the segment, which I love. Kevin Oldscratch,
very clever.
Who is the host of Dark Moon Herald, which is a World of Warcraft podcast I've been on once. And he's come on my Pet Battle show, I think. Or did he come on this show? He came on one of the shows at one point. He came up with that idea and just sent it over Twitter. Awesome work, Kevin. I love it.
Fun.
All right, cool. So now we have delayed long enough. we want singing.
Jim. Okay.
Can you satisfy our need for singing?
I came prepared.
Prepared? In what way?
Well, I'm a big Weird Al fan.
Okay.
So I've been listening to Weird Al since I've been, what, 7 or 8? And you know, listened to some of the same songs with the cousin who helped inspire this episode, all the way back from Even Worse, the Even Worse album. But so my brother-in-law, actually, who's, as it turns out, is or was a big Magic the Gathering fan, gave me the newest Weird Al Mandatory Fun album for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. That's a good album, actually. I was really surprised.
Yeah,
really
it's a fun album. And so I was thinking, I know I need to do a song of the week. What am I going to do here? So the song I'm So Handy is really catchy.
Yeah.
And it's based on Iggy Azalea's I'm So Fancy. But so here we go. First thing first, I'm a craftsman. Hearthstone is my only passion. And I'm the best on the ladder. Want proof, yo? Your cards and your deck don't matter. I'm so crafty, everybody knows. I'll beat you soundly with my combos. I'm so crafty, in ranked mode. I'll make your face explode.
Okay, Jim, that was great, but you forgot the key phrase that this entire section has to be based on.
The card of the week.
Yeah, okay. So you sing the whole song, and then just at the end, card of the week. Dude, I'm sorry. You at least got to put some tone into it. I'm going to auto-tune you right now, okay? Just say card of the week. Try and sing it in some sort of song.
Card of the week.
Okay. In the sake of not bringing whatever horrible monster just spoke through your microphone back, we're going to go ahead and move on to the card of the week.
Okay.
But I'm going to have to say, Jim, not including the words card of the week, as awesome as that song was, I think that disqualifies you from the all-time Hall of Fame Card of the Week. I know. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry. It was a great song. A great song. Let this be a warning to future hosts. Can't forget the words. Can't forget the words. Card of the Week have to be in there. All right. What card did you pick out?
My combos are unique. It's the Card of the Week.
Boom. All right. There you go. Just cut out everything we said between the end of that song and that line, and you're good.
Okay. There we go. Yes. All right, so the card of the week, Hobgoblin.
Ooh, this guy is weird.
Yeah. Yes, he is very weird and weird looking.
So what is he?
So the Hobgoblin is, well, a Hobgoblin. It's the text on the card reads, whenever you play a one attack minion, give it +2/+2.
Whoa, hold on. What are its stats? Is it I think it's a two cost,
it's
two, three?
It's a three cost... 2/3.
There we go. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is a card that can significantly improve the stats of cards you'd otherwise play early in the game. And it can make building a deck with a balanced curve much more playable. So you don't necessarily want to build a deck strictly around this card, since you might not draw one or both copies until the end. But it can be incredibly helpful, especially mid to late game.
Yeah.
I've personally found it difficult to know what to do with in the early game because, like, well, ooh, I've got it. I'm going to save it for turn 4 and play a Hobgoblin plus you know a one mana cost minion. But you know those matches, I think usually it's safe to say end up backfiring on me. But
yeah.
It's a great mid game minion. For when you have, say, another Annoyatron come along, or another Micro Machine come along, or another Cogmaster, is that right?
Yeah.
Come along. Those guys can get pretty scary pretty quick, especially if they start out with +2/+2. You know, the Annoyatron is a 1/2, but it can quickly turn into a 3/4 or a 5/6. You thought a 1/2 Annoyatron was annoying? Try one of these guys.
Oh my god.
So and the effect stacks too. So if you have two Hobgoblins on the board, you can have 5/6 minions that were 1/2s.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So it's funny also because most players silence the buffed card, not the Hobgoblin. And
so then you just drop another card next turn and get it again.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and you do want to play it on the... I've found time and again that you want to play it on the turn you're going to trigger its effect. Otherwise, more than likely, it's going to get killed right away. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'd be pretty sure that Ben Brode voiced it, but I'm not certain.
But, he has a very distinct voice.
He does. He does. So when you play it out of your hand, it's Goblins and Gnomes. And when you attack with it, it's Goblins and Gnomes. So, and then I was lucky enough to end up with both a regular and a gold copy. And the gold copy is pretty creepy looking. The Hobgoblin is drooling from his teeth, and he's got the swirly background. And, yeah, gross. it's really, yeah, it's pretty bizarre. But it's a fun card. And the other thing is that I don't hardly ever see it in any other decks. So it's not in the meta. Folks don't expect it. They don't know how to deal with it. And so it's really nice. You do want to have card draw in these decks, though, because a lot of times you have small minions and you're going to have a lot of leftover mana. So throw in a Jeeves in with it. It'll continue to refill your hand. So... And that the Jeeves is also a one attacking minion, so you end up with a 3/6 Jeeves.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of cool potential around this. I know we've had a couple requests now from listeners who want us to do an episode, me and Scott, where we build an entire deck on the show and talk about why we put each one. And we were thinking about potentially doing a Hobgoblin deck for that one, just because there's so many cool kind of combos and things you can look for.
You just don't see it on the ladder.
That's why we liked it too, because it's not a deck that everyone would be like, oh yeah, of course that card's in it, because everyone runs
exactly.
I like that all of my listeners apparently speak in old timey voices. Hey, yeah, every card in that set, it's perfect.
Funny.
All right, yeah, so yeah, this is a really fun card. This is one of the cards, so we mentioned the Timmy Johnny Spike thing, right? This is a Johnny card.
Yeah,
and this card exists to let people just brainstorm and start building decks around and see what happens.
I scratched level rank 14 with it today.
Nice, congrats.
Thanks. Yeah, I've been playing it mostly this season. I play a paladin deck with it and a warlock deck with it, so I've been able to do pretty decent, you know, especially for, you know, not having that many legendaries, I think, you know, so yeah.
So does it combo with the Paladin Hero Power? Or is it only if you
play it? No, it is not. Okay. Only if you play it, yeah. Only if you play it. Now, however, if you're playing a Hunter, and the Hunter plays a Freezing Trap against you, and the Silverhand Recruit goes back in your hand, and then you play that Silverhand Recruit out of your hand with a Hobgoblin on board, it will trigger then.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, but it won't trigger for the Hero Power or the Muster for Battle.
Okay. Oh, not Muster for Battle. Oh, because the spell summons it, so that doesn't count
summons
as playing it.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, good to know. Cool. Yeah. Any other thoughts on Hobgoblin?
It's a fun card. It can be a swingy because, again, you might not draw the card until the end, so you need to plan a deck that can play well without it.
Yeah.
But it can be, and it's not necessarily a win more card either, because you can have, you know, you can play it along with an Annoyatron, and it can really save your bacon.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the best one I've seen, I think, is Mistress of Pain. Is that it? The 1/4?
Oh man, yeah. Yes.
The heals for all the damage it deals, so suddenly it's a 3/7, I think, or 3/6.
Yeah, that's right, 3/7, and you do like Demon Fire or whatever the other one, the 2/2 or the 5/5 on that.
You're healing, healing for like 10 health every turn. Oh man,
yes.
It's crazy,
yeah. That is definitely a come-from-behind situation there.
Yeah. All right, very cool. So, like we mentioned, all of this is going to be up on GameDiplomat.com, our blog. It's going to have all the crazy amount of links. Like, I'm just scrolling through. There's got to be like 30 links that Jim put together to help new players. New.
And I'll copy out what we cut out, and you can link to that as well if you want to, about arena and deck building and stuff like that.
Cool. So secret bonus tips on the blog. There you go.
Yeah.
So go over to GameDevPlanet.com. That'll all be there. Swing on by there. Oh, also check out the new site, because I just changed the theme and the look of the whole site.
Oh, good.
So hopefully it's also a little easier to navigate. The last one never actually showed tags on the post. So if you wanted to like, hey, I want to see more posts like this, show me stuff about Hearthstone. That stuff never actually existed before. So now it's all there. So hopefully it's a little easier to navigate. Let me know if you see any problems or anything, because I just did it like 2 days ago.
Okay. Yeah, I will do that. Absolutely. Part of my job at work is helping design look and feel stuff, you know, among many other things.
So you will have many good suggestions, I'm sure.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I certainly hope to.
Cool. All right. And as always, we'd love to know what you all thought of the show and what you'd like to see added for future episodes. You can find us on Google+, Happy Hearthstone, or you can contact me directly on Twitter, @JAugustine, or email me, ajosh@outlook.com, or just, you know, leave a comment on the blog, gamediplomat.com. Jim, where can people find you?
So I'm on Twitter. I don't tweet a whole lot, but you know, my handle is @JimBethencourt, and it's mostly about the Houston Java Users Group meeting announcements and Java related stuff. Since I'm a Java programmer and I lead the Houston Java Users Group, but I also post some about Hearthstone from time to time too. If you want to friend me on Battle.net. I'm Digital Jim, number 1762. Feel free to add me. Again, I don't have many friends, and I'm always happy to let you watch my games or watch some of your games and win a free pack, maybe.
There's so much pressure when someone starts watching you and they're like, "Hey, I need you to win. I got this pack."
I know exactly. Yeah. My friend Robert, who helped me with the show notes, he's gotten to like level rank 2 or 1. He's like,
"Wow,
yeah, Jim, I'll see if I can win you one. All right."
So and you're like, "I'm pretty sure you can."
Yeah, no, he tried so hard, man. It was God bless him. But if you want to email me along with Josh, feel free to. I don't know exactly how much help I'll be, but I can definitely try to. And then I'm on Twitch, but I don't ever stream because I mostly play on my tablet. If they come out with Twitch stream for Android clients, yeah, I might. Not sure. If you're interested in learning more about the Houston Java Users Group, you can go to hjug or hjug.org. I'll be giving a talk about this Hearthstone crafting tool that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I think. On September 12th at the Houston Tech Fest on September 12th. So that presentation is scheduled to be in the middle of the afternoon, if I remember right. It's called Hearthstone to the Limit.
Sweet.
Yeah, wow, so that's awesome. We'll go over just it's modeling Hearthstone cards in kind of an object-oriented fashion and how we analyze them, and then finding undervalued cards and using the Java persistence architecture and the JSON binding APIs that are available to do all that. So kind of programmer stuff, but if we can, I'll talk about trying to find undervalued cards with the tool as well. So I've got a deadline to meet to make that tool at least semi-viable and, you know, share my experience with everybody. But you know, I'm just hoping everybody's going to like my invention.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that seems super cool. I can't wait to see your results. And speaking on behalf of Scott, the most like math savvy person that comes on the show, he will literally probably die from starvation once that tool is released, because he will do nothing but sit at his computer and stare at it for hours.
Funny. Yeah, I'd like to be able to answer questions like, okay, well, if I could craft a card, which one would be the best for me to craft? You know, yeah. You know, just overall, but also given my collection, you know, what I have, you know, building decks eventually, you know, what decks are going to have the most synergies, you know, given the collection that I have and things along those lines, because these are hard questions to answer unless you really know all of the cards. So, I'm hoping to eventually develop a tool, this tool out so that it can do that. I've thrown that code out on GitHub. The link I think is in the show notes if anybody's interested. I've licensed it under the Apache license, so don't be scared. And if you know a little bit of Java, jump in and have some fun. Let's do this.
There you go. All right. Cool. So we'll put links to all that on the blog so you guys can check that all out. Jim, thanks for joining us and sharing all these tips for new players to help them out.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for teaching me about the Weekend Warrior Quest secret queue. That's crazy. I never knew that.
Yeah, you're welcome. I heard that a couple places and, I have to test this out myself. And sure enough, works like a charm.
That's awesome.
At least for now.
Cool. Well, thanks, Jim. Really appreciate having you on.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, and thanks,
and have a good evening.
Thank you. And thanks again for everyone listening, for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Hey everybody, Chris here from MMO Reporter. First of all, I want to thank everyone who backed our Kickstarter. You are amazing. Thank you so much. I also want to mention that we are continuing our fundraising for PAX Prime at mmoreporter.com/support with a stretch goal of getting a video from the meetup. Yes, that's right. You heard it correct. There is a meetup. We'll be meeting at the Rock Bottom this year, and you can find all the information that you need, including the RSVP link, at mmoreporter.com/PAX. If you're planning to go to the meetup, make sure that you let me know. Thanks again for supporting the Kickstarter, everyone, and for continuing to listen to all the shows on the MMO Reporter Network, and I hope to see you in-game.